The best interviews in American talk radio, Starcom Radio Network. Seth Reynes is our next guest. He's a sought-after keynote speaker, workshop leader, on the very important subject of transgender. Transitioning from women to men. Resilience and courage. Self-deprecating humor and passion in every presentation. Faculty, parents, teenagers, key players in the professional world are all given a lot to think about when it comes to understanding gender identity and what it's been like to live on both sides. Seth Reynes up next. Navigating transgender challenges and shifting perspectives, Seth Reynes, a transformational speaker and author, is our next guest. Seth, a real pleasure to have you on Starcom Radio Network. How are you today?
Great. I'm doing great, Ed. Thanks for having me on. It's great to speak to you again.
You know, it's a real pleasure because I think we're getting a little bit of overload on the stereotypes. I think society is doing sometimes what it does worst, quickly label, oversimplify, and transgender is not as well understood as the volume of attention it gets. Do you agree with me? A little bit of a deficit there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it. Tell me.
It's our generation that needs the education. The younger kids seem to get it. It's the older generation that grew up with no type of education at all, and there's misinformation out there. And so this is what I try to do. I try to educate people to just understand that a child that's transgender or an adult that's transgender is no different than someone else who has some other type of issue that they have to deal with in their life. It's just that for our world, if we can't fit in one box or another, we don't understand what goes in the middle. And I think we're starting to learn that there's a tremendous distance between the left and the right as far as the spectrum's concerned for people.
No doubt about that. Now, you and I chatted briefly at the summit about this. Certainly in my lifetime, it was a rarity at best, and it was like one person. It was Christine Jurgensen. I remember but that was it. It was one person. It was presented as an absolute anomaly of the human condition. And now today, when you take a look at what the new understanding is, it's an audible chasm there. I mean, it's really a huge leap. Help us understand it a little better. What has been missed in the coverage and compared to what we really do know and understand today?
Well, there's transgender people have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And, you know, of course, now we've got media coverage 7x24. And so you're going to hear more. And also, compared to the day that I was brought up, I mean, besides Christine Jurgensen and beside Renee Richards, that was the only two that really made any type of headlines somewhere. Today, I think up until, you know, as of late, you know, people feel safer because you'd have to be hidden under a rock today not to know the term transgender. It's out there for the good or for the bad, whatever kind of press that it's getting. it's out there, and people are trying to say, well, where do all these people come from? Well, they've been there. It's just that, let me ask you, you know, are you going to raise your hand, you know, 10 years ago and say that this is who I am and get a whole lot of chastisement? I mean, that's not what they're going to do. And I think now that people are taking care of the mental health of transgender people, possibly the medical and or the surgical, and people have a place to go, they're not running as scared. At least for the families who have transgender kids or siblings or parents or whatever the case may be. In the case of people who are not familiar, it really comes down, which it's always been, to a bathroom issue. I mean, didn't we have that problem back with segregation, and didn't we have that problem with AIDS? It always comes down to a bathroom, which to me, is one of the baffling things, because we all have gender-neutral bathrooms in our house.
Right.
And it always, and unfortunately, in the case of being transgender, it always comes down to what's between your legs. But here's the deal. Who you are is what's between your ears. It's not what's between your legs, but everybody makes it that way. And up until recently, no one really gave a hoot about gender identity, because most people are born male and they identify as male, or they're born female and they identify as female, and they never think about it.
Right.
Never think about it. They think about what clothes they're going to wear or where they're going to go during the day, but when you have an incongruence between, you know, your natal sexual characteristics and who you identify as, then people who are transgender, they perseverate, because it's like being stuck with a pin every day, or it's like, you know, being in a box, you know, square peg in a round hole. You're uncomfortable, you don't fit, and even though they may go through society, they're not functioning at 100%. They're not always present mentally, because they may be in a place, but they're not there mentally, because all they keep thinking is, this is not who I am, this is not who I am, you know, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, you know, whichever way they go. And a lot of people just can't wrap their head around it, because it's not me, I don't have that problem, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, and so therefore it must not exist. And what we're trying to do is just educate people and say, you know, you open up your mind a little bit, people are different, and you know what? Celebrate it, because that's what you want. You want different people in the world. Could you imagine if we were all the same?
Right. I mean, no,
I mean, nothing would get done, right? No creativity. People wouldn't be working on teams. You know, everybody would have the same opinion. Everybody would say yes. Nobody would say no. And nothing in the world really would ever get done.
You know, nature leads the way on this, right? If you look at nature, you see the subtle nuances in species and subspecies. Are we just refusing to acknowledge that side of the human condition, that there's a biological root for all of this? There's a physiological root for all of this. It isn't something like ghosts, and it isn't something that, you know, spirits are visiting from another world. This is part of the physical condition of the human species,
right? If you're Native American, they believe in two-spirited people. I mean, I'd have to say that that's what they call people who are transgender. It's called two-spirit if you're Native American. But I agree with what you're saying, but you see, we like to put things in little boxes and pack them up neatly, and if an arm and a leg is sticking out, nobody knows what to do with that, you know, hypothetically speaking. And because they just say, well, you're a boy, you got to dress like a boy, you're a girl, you have to dress like a girl, nobody has given a thought that there are other ways of thinking in the world. And I've got to tell you that for me doing this for the last 4 years, you know, helping kids and adults and all kinds of environments, whether it's school, whether it's corporations, it's amazing. Once you educate people, they do shift their perspective a little bit, because they've never been educated, especially, like I said, the, you know, my generation. The younger generation, man, they have everything at their fingertips on the YouTube and here and everywhere else, and they get to see that, wow, this is a good thing. I'm not alone. There are many people out there like me, which is what I never had when I was young.
Right.
You know?
I just went
in my mind, because there was nowhere to go with that. Nowhere.
Don't we also have to learn something from the following? More and more news stories that, even if, you know, obviously it can be bullying that brings it to Channel 5 or Channel 6, but often now when we see the transgender youth, more often parents are rock solid behind their kids. Parents less distancing and ostracizing. I'm not saying that there's none of it, but certainly the media coverage shows a much more engaged parental generation than maybe 20, 30 years ago. If the kids grew long hair, they wanted to live on a commune, right. They used to get this condemnation and this immediate wall between the two. Oh, the father can't talk to the daughter anymore. She got pregnant without being married. Well, today, we've really made a lot of progress in parents understanding exactly who their kids are, even when, as you say, it doesn't fit in a narrow, small box.
Right, and also, too, because there is more coverage, and don't forget, the coverage that you see with maybe this particular family or that one is a real tiny, tiny percentage, because by and large, most of the families are not on board, but you don't see that. And you also have to look at the part where someone wants their child to live stealth. They're not going to go on TV and say, okay, here's Marty, he used to be Mary, and now there's a face for everybody to see. They want to keep their business private, which you can understand. But for the families that are on TV, and it's constantly in the news, you know, depending on how this person came to their parents and told them or what they're doing with their child now, at least it keeps it out there. So if there is a parent at home who just catches a glimpse of that, they're not frustrated. They have, you know, contact places. They have internet sites to go to try and get information. And I think that's the best part, that people don't feel like I'm out here all alone. Even if I have to drive 2 hours to see someone, it's worth it because I'm not going there every day. I'm going to go there once or twice a year, but I'm going to get the right help for me and specifically for my child if they're dealing with, you know, a younger child as opposed to an adult.
Sure, sure. Seth Raines is our guest, and let me give you the website, Seth, S-E-T-H, Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S-S. Should I be pronouncing Raines. That Raines?
Raines.
SethRaines.com, just the way it sounds. When you are doing a keynote address, right, not too much interaction, maybe you take questions at the end, but when you do a workshop, you really feel the person who's reaching to you. Have you been stumped? I mean, have you gone out now over these years and found yourself in a room in a circumstance where you're like, oh my God, I never thought about this until I'm hearing it now today. And what you're doing with them is like the first time you're going through it because it's so new, so unexpected. Give me your point of view on when you're in a workshop and people are hitting you with what their challenges are.
Right. Well, it depends. Now, I speak all over, but if I'm speaking in New Jersey, I certainly know the New Jersey laws. Okay, and I can speak specifically to what we do in the schools, and because we have a law against discrimination in New Jersey that you just can't discriminate in a public accommodation. Against work, against domicile, and specifically public accommodations or schools. So the bathroom issue for us is not an issue.
Right.
Okay, because they just can't do it. And if they do and they find that they'll find out how quick the law steps in. But for other states, you know, I can't speak specifically to every state, and I will defer back to the people who live in those states because I don't know every single law in every single state. I mean, I know the ones that are on board, the ones that aren't, but by and large, most of the questions that I get, I can answer. I'm not up to date with the penal system. Again, the penal system and how they treat transgender people is different in every state as well. In every state, you know, if a child is homeless, what happens there if the child is in 10th grade and they're homeless? You know, how is that taken on? Again, every state is different. There's certain nuances that are hard to answer, you know, because of the different state laws.
Right.
I know that I caution people nationally and more states than others that, you know, I say to kids if they're between 14 and 18, most kids know what they can and can't tell their parents. We all do. We all learned that at a very early age, what mommy and daddy are going to get mad at,
right,
or possibly punish us about if we say something. And I caution kids that if they're in a home that they feel their parents truly, you know, could abuse them, could kick them out of the house or just not respond well, or actually they're reacting emotionally, not to say anything.
Right.
Because the statistics are that 43% of the LGBT community is homeless, and 40% of that are transgender people. Kids.
Wow. That's a national nightmare.
It's staggering. It's very staggering. And we do the best to try and get the parents on board. I facilitate a meeting for PFLAG, which is a tremendous organization, been around over 42 years, and they're a volunteer organization, and they're national, and they got like 400 chapters. and we facilitate a meeting there once a month for transgender people and their family. And it's amazing when people come in because, you know, sometimes they come in with twisted and distorted faces.
Sure.
But they feel so relaxed at the end of that one meeting. I mean, they constantly keep coming because you're not going to learn everything in one night. But they meet other parents or they meet other people. And they now have someone they can actually talk to. And the parent can say, well, we've been there. We were there a year ago. You know, it's going to get better. This is what's going to happen. And this is some type of support that they absolutely need, and it works wonders for people, because you can't just go telling your family if you're not sure how you're going to handle it yourself, because then people in their well-meaning come at you with a gazillion questions, and
right.
you're stumbling all over yourself because you're not sure yourself yet.
So absolutely.
Say, you know, get your act together, figure out what you're going to do, and then present it to the family, and so that you're able to be on board. This is the direction we're taking. We know what we're doing. You know, come on board with us or not. We're going without you.
Seth Reines, a great guest. The website, SethReines.com. The book is Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. And you also added a Parent's Guide. Wow, smart on that. Tell me about what you say specifically to parents. What's in the book in terms of the parent's guide? How helpful?
Well, you know, I wrote that as the first thing before the book, and it was like, oh, my God, my child's transgender. What do I do? And, you know, we basically say to the parents to listen to your kid because your child will remember this first conversation, how it goes. You know, the other things they may not, but your reaction. And no matter how you feel, you know, your child's coming to you with what I call an adult problem. And we forget about that because we're 30 and we're 40 and 50, and you have a kid that's 7 or 8 or 15 coming to you, you know, with something that is way more heavier than someone took my bike or they stole my phone or,
right.
you know, cheated on my homework, whatever it is. And so you have to take a step back, take a deep breath, and no matter what's going on inside of you, you also have to realize that your child's doing their own thing, and you're going to be doing your own thing with your emotions, but your child's not responsible for your emotions. You know, as the adult, you have to help your child, but if you have issues, you've got to find your own support.
Right, right.
And also remember that if you take this journey, because it's a marathon, it's not a 100-yard dash, you are also transitioning with your child. But so are parents in general. See, this is what I tell them. You first had a baby, then you had an infant, then you had a toddler, then you had a, you know, an elementary kid and a teenager. You're transitioning all the way with your child as they go. Well, this is, you know, a little bit of tweaking difference, but it's no different.
Seth, it really is. You're so plain spoken, and I really appreciate that now we're alleviating some of the, well, misinformation, number one. Number two, stigma. I will ask you as a final question, one of the criteria that we use in society, certainly and this applies to transgender people, but lots of groups, is the suicide rate. The suicide rate will stagger people. I'm sure you watch it. Have we at all flattened that line, or is it still on the increase?
It's, well, right now, the last I heard, it's 52% of the transgender community will attempt suicide.
Wow.
Doesn't mean they're all 52%
right.
are successful.
Right.
I think it's somewhere around in the 30s or 40s, because it changes a lot, which is way greater than like the 2 or 3% nationally.
Wow.
You know, it's staggering.
It is, man. I don't know how you do it sometimes, because you're in the thick of this thing, and then when big media take a look at it sometimes, they give it 20 seconds in a half-hour
right.
newscast,
right.
but you
well,
really are...
Now that is.
I do. Well, we're trying to battle that here today with your appearance and having you back on the show as we continue to tackle this issue. What a great
Absolutely.
Job, man.
Absolutely. Listen, I always say, if I can speak myself out of a living, I've done my job.
Nice.
That's my goal.
That's it. Put yourself out of business by doing a great
That's
job.
It.
Seth, thank you for today so much. The book is Real Talk for Teens, A Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Easy to get a hold of. Just go to SethReines.com. I'll spell that for you. SethReines.com. A great guest on the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network.